thank for the opportunity that we do get. I it's just always a pleasure to be over here, but I've been hearing about the intent of God. Amen. We're talking about the intent. And I believe that's the thing that we need to get a hold of. But I don't have a warehouse as great as these brothers here. But I do love the Word of God. There isn't but one Spirit. Amen. But I praise God. Turn over here to Hebrews 3. Amen. Because I believe God is after something that He hadn't been able to get before. Amen. In Hebrews 3, verse 7 says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice." If today we can hear His intent. You know, there's a lot of ways to express intent. Amen. You can express intent through the voice, through expression, through action. And that's how that I see the Lord is expressing Himself, is through the action through me and carrying me down this the road that He wants me to travel in.
Amen.
Amen. But it goes on and says, "Harden not your hearts." I heard a while earlier that the devil don't really care which side of the road you get off on, but as long as you get off. Amen. And the thing that you veer from is what's in the heart. That's what God is looking after, is looking into the heart. Amen. I may act foolish, but He's looking into the heart.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And it goes on and says, "When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Amen. They tested God.
Yes.
They tempted Him at every opportunity they got. But He passed the test. Amen.
Yes.
He said, "I passed all of these. They tried me, but I was proved to be true." Amen. But now I think the shoe is on the other foot, that He's looking to check us out. Amen. To know if we are going to come in and follow His intent. Amen. To follow after His heart. God looketh on the heart. He has dealt with me so much in the last few months that I've just had to nothing but just cry before the Lord. Because sometimes we think that we're doing and God's intention, but yet we come to find out that it's just the flesh. But I want the real thing.
Amen.
I want to come into the full intent of what God has for us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
To where we can grow. There's something in us that has to come, that has to grow. Amen.
Yes.
It's the Christ in us is the hope of glory. Now that Christ starts out just a pinch. Amen. That's the reason the opportunity that the Lord lays in front of me. You get to grow as your knees are knocking.
Amen.
Everything is just not turned up roses because God brings you in. Amen. He brought us in to bring us out. Amen. That's what scared me. I thought He was bringing us all in, but then I realized that the more He was bringing us in, the more it looks like we were on the outside. Amen? That it looks opposite from what it was. But He says, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation." Amen? You know, God wanted to bring them. He said over here in Deuteronomy, He wanted to bring them into a good land. He had intentions of bringing them to where they needed to go. Amen?
Amen.
But they erred in their hearts. And that's what God is working on, is the heart.
Amen.
Is to test and prove what is in your heart.
Amen?
Amen? But He says, they do always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. Amen. They miss it in the heart by wanting to see just the works of God. They wanted God to do everything for them. Amen. And if He didn't do it exactly on time, it would upset them. And they would want to turn back and try to say, well, we'd have been better off in Egypt. Eating onions. You know what I'm saying?
And garlic.
Amen. Well, you know how that conversation goes.
And bleach.
Yeah. And yes, amen. 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 But turn over here to Deuteronomy 8, because let me just go back there just a minute. Because He had intent. He has intentions for us to come into the fullness of this Christ. And being where? In the place where He desires us to be. Amen? We're given this grace or this God life. Amen?
Yes.
We're given this by the grace that has been given to us through the ministry. See?
Yes.
We're not all... I tell the Lord all the time, I'm not looking for some great wide ministry, but I do want to be one that comes into it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And I can come into it, and you can come into it, of finding the position in which you need to be.
Amen.
If you are trying to compete with ministry, you just might well forget it.
Yes.
But you come in the intent to grow where God has placed you.
Yes.
And the position He has placed you in.
Amen.
I can come into the intent of God.
Amen.
In doing that.
Amen.
Amen. But in Deuteronomy 8 it says, verse 7 it says, For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
Land in the Old Testament is spirit in the new.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He's bringing us into this good spirit. Amen. It's not just by works or by just knowledge, but it's experiencing the heart of God. Because if they erred in the heart, then that's where the problem lies. Amen. It's not the fact is that they are just desired. They got tired of toting this gold around in the desert. You know what I'm saying? Brother McGurry said one time, he said, they didn't have any Walmarts. No wonder they could take up great offerings. And if they wanted to go somewhere, it didn't take up long to take them an offering when Moses didn't come back off the mountain when they thought he would. See, they left the intentions of what God had and they wanted to go back. They wanted to return to where they were felt comfortable.
That's right.
Amen. God is not looking to make us all comfortable.
That's right.
I haven't been comfortable since I came and sit down under this ministry. Amen. That's been a long time. Amen.
Yeah.
But I thank God for it.
Amen.
He's not out for us just for everybody to have good feelings. Yeah. But He is putting us in a position that He's going to test to see what our intentions are.
Amen.
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 He's got an intention, and we have to have an intention.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Not just a thought of we're going to arrive somewhere or fly off to heaven or something, but He said the reason He put them in the wilderness to start with was to prove them.
Yes.
And to test them and see what was in their heart. Amen. See what's in their heart. And that's what God has dealt with me so much here lately, is to see really what was in my heart. Because all I would do would be waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, tell Him how bad everything was with me. Right? Murmuring. Complaining.
God hates it.
God hates it. But I thought that was would be the way to come into to His presence. But I'm going to tell you what. I said, Lord, check me out. Check my heart out. And when you ask God to do something, He will certainly do it. He is a God of His Word. And He's going to bring about an intent. And He wants someone that's after His own heart. David was after God's own heart. Amen. But listen to this. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. This was before He ever brought them in there. Amen. This was His intention. Amen. A land of brooks, right, of water. Well, brooks are good, but they will dry up. Amen. Elijah, the brook drew up. You know, right? But He's got brooks of water and fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Amen. He's the intention that there's valleys and hills in my life. Amen. And everywhere I go, there I have an opportunity to move into the intent of God. I can either take the valley and mourn the blues and hang my harp on the willow tree, right? Or I can sing a song right in the midst of it. Because whatever song you're singing is where your heart's at. Amen. You can get the country music, moan the blues, my mama got run over by a train, and all this kind of stuff. And you can get just as depressed as you ever been. Amen. But there's songs of the Lord. David had a song of the Lord. Amen. Moses had a song. Amen. Mary had a song. And I'm telling you what, when the intent of the heart, you'll have a song. And I want the song that says, my spirit rejoices in the Lord, and my soul does magnify Him. Amen. I want to see, because I believe that's what God is intent for us to come into this. To come into a full obedience, we've got to leave these. It doesn't matter whether you're in a valley or on a hill. Amen. It just doesn't matter. But listen. And he goes on down there, verse 8 says, a land of wheat and barley. Amen. Vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive, and honey. He had it. His intent is for us to have everything that He's laid before us. Amen. But if our heart is not right, this whole generation, there wasn't but two that made it out alive. Amen. Amen. And they were of a different spirit. Amen. And that's what God is looking for, is people with a different spirit, a different heart. Amen. That where we don't see ourselves. Wherever your heart is, there's your treasure is also. Amen. If I think of myself lowly, then that's where I'm setting my treasure. This is as high as I'm going to get today. Amen. But they were of a different spirit. I thank God that they were looking for the full intent. When He said He had a land here, then they were mindful to take it. They were obedient to His Word. In their heart. It had to be in their heart. Because if it hasn't, they would have run like the rest of them.
Amen.
Amen. But there's something different. There's a new generation. Amen.
Hallelujah.
This was the one that God was not well pleased with. I want God pleased with
Hallelujah.
Me.
Hallelujah.
I want Him to say that this is Bob that's after mine own heart.
Amen.
Because when I can come into that, then I can see His intent.
Hallelujah.
Other than that, I'm just being tested and tried. I thought, he said, I put you into this wilderness to humble you. I thought He was doing that just to see how much pressure I could take. Amen? But then I come to find out that He humbled me so I would be insignificant. that to where I would be insignificant, that it didn't matter of me. It's not about me anyhow.
Amen.
It's not about you. It's about Him. Amen. And to humble them and to prove them. Amen. That's a thing that's still going on in my life, is He's proving you. If He's going to humble you, then He's going to test you. Amen. I haven't passed that test, but I'm working on the exam. Amen. I haven't got the grade yet. As Brother McCurry had a teaching here a while back, he's measuring the inner house. Amen. To see what grade we are. You measure lumber, the grade of lumber. Amen. Concrete has to be tested to see what the strength is. And that's what he was. But he had the intent for them, but they just couldn't pull it off because they erred in their heart. Amen. They missed it. And I don't want to be the one that missed it. And in this generation,
Amen.
This is a new generation. As you heard Brother McCurry say, there's none like us.
Amen.
And never will be again.
Amen.
For many generations. But I thank God that He's given us the opportunity to walk into this. Amen.
Amen.
This is the hardest, is to walk through the wilderness. I noticed that Jesus, I was reading, when He was led into the wilderness, one said He was led into the wilderness. The other one said He was driven there. It doesn't matter how you get in it. Amen. I think He had to drive me into the wilderness because I don't want to go. I like comfort. I like, it's all right. I can live in a little house. Amen. The house we used to have, Brother McCurry come to eat with us, and me and my wife was sitting in the kitchen eating. Brother McCurry was sitting in the hallway, and we were eating off the same table. So, and it was fine with me. And then there was prophesied we'd have a new house. Well, I didn't particularly care. I loved the little one. The payments were small. You know what I'm saying? But anyhow, to get off of that, it's just the fact is that He's going to prove us. He's checked. He is humbling us. You know, we see all these humble people that's so pious and everything is this. That's not what He's after.
No.
He don't even want you to be seen. Amen. He's coming to places that you're not to be seen. It's Him that needs to be seen. And if our heart is towards that, amen, then we can come to see the intent of God. Amen. But I'll move on here. But he goes and he says, listen to this. Verse 9, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Amen. He is the bread of life. Amen. To where you can eat of Him without scarceness. Because He said up above that He said, I suffered you to hunger.
Yeah.
Amen. This is a part of this suffering and of coming in to finding the heart of God.
Amen.
He suffers them to hunger. They had to get up and only got what they could eat one day at a time. Amen. Then they had to get up and go get it.
Had to go outside
the camp. Amen. Outside the camp. Amen. Amen. And all they could do is just one day at a time. And he did allow them to get enough for the Sabbath day after 2 days. Amen. But I praise God that we can now eat without scarceness. That's His intent. That we can just eat and just get our fill of Him. And we don't have to eat it. Just a little piece at a time. Amen. But he also said, I'm going to give you precept upon precept. Right? I'm going to give you a little bit here and a little bit there. So the wolves don't eat you smack up. When they smell bread, they come. Amen. If they smell something to eat, they're coming. But listen to this. He said up here, I'm trying to do this here so we can. But listen to this. Verse 3. I just want to read this. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed them with manna. What is the manna now? It's the Word. It's Him. We can eat of that Word as much as we care to eat. That's His intent of His heart, that we never have to run into scarceness of bread anymore. Amen. But listen, which thou knewest not. Amen. Pardon? Amen. Amen. Which thou knewest not, neither did their fathers know, that he might make thee know. Listen, his intent is to make us know something. Amen. That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone. Amen. But by every word proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That was the first question the devil asked him, Jesus, when he was in the wilderness. All right? Thou be the Son of God. Turn these stones into bread. Amen? Amen. The thing that I liked about reading of how when he was drawn into the wilderness is that the Word says he did eat nothing. He cut his flesh. That flesh, the world began to be cut off of it. Amen? He did eat nothing. The only thing about it is we want to eat while he's going along with this. Right?
Amen.
Where he's bringing us in these. He's checking us out. Jesus was able to cut it off. But when he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit, there was something different about his heart from there on, I believe, that it was tried and tested and proved. You know what I'm saying? That he came out in the power of the Spirit. Amen. We think that if we can slay a few giants or something, we've got the intent of God's heart. Amen. David, man after God's own heart, the first thing he does, he slew Goliath. Amen. That's what we, you see the church, they just want to do something for God. If they can slay some kind of a devil, all right, they can just do something for God. Amen. Then they think that they have arrived. And that's all right to slay one. But that's still not what he's after. After he did that, he had to run for his life. Amen. I look in this Word, and it amazes me of how many of these faithful men had to run for their lives. Amen. And let's leave that for the sake of time. Go over here to 1 Samuel. I want to read this to you, if it's all right. When my warehouse gets a little greater, I won't do this. But I praise God. It's around Samuel, 1 Samuel 17 is where he went up against Goliath. Amen. But I tell you what, that's the church world now. If somebody does something great, the jealousy breaks out in the camp. Amen. God is not after, he's after the heart, remember. Amen.
Amen.
To see what's in thine heart.
Yes.
And there's so much jealousy in the house of the Lord now. Amen. Pardon? And envy. Envy, strife. And then there comes division. He said, I couldn't even speak. Paul said, I couldn't even speak to you as unto to spiritual, but as unto carnal. Because you wasn't able to speak, right? You wasn't. You're like babes. You're not able to talk. I want that song.
Yeah.
I want to be able to speak the Word, to get out of this infant stage. And I see the only way is to be after God's own heart.
Right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Because over here in Samuel 17, verse 56, I want to read this. This sort of blew my mind here. Here was David, already had slain Goliath, right? And Saul was taking notice of him. And he said this right here, verse 56, and said, "The king said, inquire thou whose son this stripling is." Right? I may not have the right interpretation of that word, but what I found to be the root of it says, something hid out of sight. Amen? Whose son is this that was hidden out of sight? But yet he is bringing this man, David. He was after his own heart. He done killed all the bear and the lions and Goliath. And Saul wanting to know who he is. Amen? But if you read it on through there, there's nothing but jealousy begins to break out. I'm just aching for the day that this Christ in all of us can grow, that there be no jealousy, no competition, no nothing, but we all mind the same thing. And we all speak the same thing. Amen? I praise Him for that. But after He did those great things, it came to pass. Amen? You would think that if you went out here and slayed Goliath, that you would have a free ticket in what God is desiring. You know what I'm saying? That you got the ticket to ride this train.
Amen.
But not so. Because there's another day. The Word says, and it came to pass. All of that came to pass. There's something else here now.
Amen?
And it says, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. But listen, and Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. Well, I'm telling you what I'm making to be in my father's house in the right place. But if you goes on down, jealousy breaks out because the women were singing song. Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And the church world takes notice if something goes on. And there's jealousy, strife, and division keeps breaking out. And the intent of God's heart is not come to fulfillment. Amen? And then it came on down and said, and Saul eyed David. You see, the eyes is where the jealousy breaks out.
That's right.
Amen? And the intent of the heart, the intent of what God has, is being eroded away. And the next thing you know, it gets so bad that Saul tries to stick a javelin in him.
That's right.
Amen? It gets so bad, it eats. Competition in the church is the worst thing. Familiarity is about as bad. You can get so familiarity with one another that you can't really speak the true word of God to one another. Amen? It's I wash your hands, you wash mine. Listen, God is not looking for familiarity. He's looking to where the heart is.
Amen.
What He's going to bring us to the intent of His heart. But my intent has to be fulfilled. But listen, David had to run for his life. After even killing Goliath, had to take a trip. When you come in, everything's so rosy, you're just so glad to get off the street. I was. I was so glad to get off the street that everything was just great, and everybody said, "Well, let's anything went on church. I was like, hey, praise God. You know what I'm saying? But then I found out that you got to run for your life. You've got to be proved. You've got to be tested. And if there was, I can't get into it all. Don't have the warehouse to do it all. But there were 7 stopping places from when he left to the throne. Amen. He would stop. He went to, Brother McCurry mentioned the school of the prophets. Right? When he ran from Saul, that's where he went. It takes the school of the prophet. We need to know how to behave. The body of Christ needs to know how to behave to come into this intent. See, David, if you read, I can't go into, but if you read back here, he behaved himself wisely. Amen. That's allowing your heart to do the right thing. Come into obedience. Come into loving him more. Being obeyed. Anything that Saul wanted, David would do it. Even when he was trying to kill him, he would still go forth and do it. Amen. But when he went to these 7 stopping places, one of them was Keilah. What was Keilah? Amen. There was an enclosed places, right? And then he comes in. This is where I want to try to get to here, is that he came to a place. Turn over here, and let's see. Some of these places were carving places. Has he carved your heart out yet? Amen. He's carving this heart out in David. Not just, you know, David made a real fool of himself. Amen. We do foolish things sometimes. He went in, and when he got to the school of the school of the prophet, he asked, "Is there any bread in the house?" He took the shoe bread, and then he said, "Is there a sword in the house?" "Well, David, there's only one here, and that's the one you took from Goliath here." Amen.
Amen.
What did David do? He went right down, took that same sword, went down to Gath. To Gath. Is that not where? Huh? That's where Goliath lived at. Can you imagine? You just cut this man's head off here. I mean, you just took him out, and you're going to run down there in the neighborhood to where he come with his sword. Amen. Well, God allows you, when you're coming in, he's bringing this heart to himself. You will act like a fool sometimes. We don't act like a... We're tight people. Myself, I'm the world's worst. But I'm just telling you, we got to come to act foolish. The only way David got out of there, and this place was called a wine press. Has God ever put you in a wine press? And you say, "Well, God, I love you. Yes." And he had to act like a fool. The word said he was like an insane man. He began to spit all over his beard. Do you know that was an insult? I come to find out that was an insult to these people. That let spit roll down your beard. You know? But the next thing he does, and this is where the 34th Psalm came from. Amen. "I will bless," when he got out of there, "I will bless the Lord at all times." See, God was testing him and seeing where his heart was. He could say, "Oh God, I'm glad I just got out of there." But he was showing the heart. And that's what God is after. You know what I'm saying? But he got after that. The next thing he comes to, not the next place, but the one I wanted to get to, if I can turn it over, is the Engedi, or whatever. Engedi? Well, you say in Gideon, I say in God. Right. You live in California, we live in Georgia. It don't matter.
Huh?
Well, I'm not going to go there. But it's a rock. This was a place, a rock of the wild goats. Amen. He was so high up in the hills that Saul had to come up to get him. Amen. But he came up, and they ended up in the same cave. Amen?
That's right.
He ended up in the same cave. We're going to end up in the same place with this anointed word.
Hallelujah.
And this God that has this intent. Amen? Saul was not God, but he represented the anointing.
Right.
Amen? It's the Christ that we have to come. David was coming from a place that he was hidden, right? That he was nothing until the place is. Listen to this. In Samuel 24, and he went and clipped off the hem of God, Saul's garment. Brother and sister, if you ever want to come to the place is, that you want to move into the heart of God, it's going to be over this anointing. It's going to be over this anointed word. Amen? And while Saul was in there relieving himself, David snipped off a hem of his garment. And I believe this was the breaking place for David. Because when you run for everything you've got, you're going to do it your way. Right? You can tote Goliath's sword all you want to. You can act big shot all you want to. But it's going to come time that you're going to have to, that God's going to see what's in our heart.
Amen.
I pray that I want God to look into my heart if there's anything that's not there. I told Brother McCurry of month or so ago, I don't like criticism. I try to stay away from it. I try to stay away from, you know, I'm a proud Georgia boy. You know what I'm saying? But I'm coming to find I'm not anything. My integrity, I don't even bank on my integrity anymore. Right? Because it's not my integrity, it's His that matters. There's nothing that it's in with me. But if you ever slice or you get I don't know of anything that people have not tried to cut off the hem of the garment of the anointed.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what David did. But listen what happened to him. 1 Samuel 24, verse 5. And it came to pass afterward. God, thank for the afterward.
Amen.
I thank God for the afterward in my life.
Amen.
That I have come. Even the prodigal son came to his senses.
Yes.
Right? And he went back and he told him. And the thing he said, he didn't say, Father, I've sinned against thee, forgive me. He said, I've sinned against heaven. Amen?
Right.
I've sinned against heaven. Right? And he met him with a robe. I believe this was what was going in David's heart. I believe this has changed his heart to the place he is. That God could say that David is a man after mine own heart. Amen? Because verse 5 it says, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him. Listen, has your heart smote you this year? Have you come to the place that your heart, you've smote yourself?
Amen.
See, God has sanctified us, but He also wants us to sanctify ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Got to sanctify yourself. Before they ever went into the promise, into Canaan, he told, Joshua said, tell the people to sanctify themselves.
Right.
Set yourself apart so you can see what's in your heart.
Amen.
Till you deliberately set yourself apart, you'll never really know what's in your heart. Because there's too many voices out here.
Amen.
What did we start off? To hear the voice. Today, if you hear this voice. Well, I tell you what, unless the Spirit within you is in the right place, you're not going to hear it. I thought for years that I knew I was in the right place, but nothing, I could not see where that anything was really happening in me until I got with God and I said, God, search my heart. I told Brother McCurry a while ago, and I here a few weeks ago, we were sitting in his motorhome, and I said, Brother McCurry, if you see anything in me, please show it out to me. I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but whatever it takes for my heart to be after the heart of God, right? I want that. Amen? I want that. Over there in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, I beseech you, brethren, that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called. Amen? There's a high calling in us. That's the intent of God, for us to come to the fullness of this high calling. But the Amplified, can I just read it in Amplified, and then I'm going to close out here so we can eat some lunch and get somebody. But listen, we're going to read that verse in the Amplified. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. I want to be that prisoner of the Lord. Amen? I want to be a prisoner that where He said, move, I move. If He says, stay with the stuff, then I'm satisfied to stay with the stuff.
Amen.
There's the same reward. It doesn't matter. Amen?
Amen.
But it says, Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to you and beg you to walk or lead a life. Amen?
Amen.
Worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called. And this just stuck my heart. It says, with behavior.
Hallelujah.
Amen? It says, with behavior that is a credit to the summons of God's service. Amen. I want to walk in that behavior. God is looking for the right behavior in us. But we can't get it just thinking we're going to do that we are belong to this church or that church. There's an order in which God is setting us in. And you must find that place in that order. Amen. You say, well, I want to be a great minister. Then serve where you're at.
Yeah.
Amen. As Brother McGill said, titles don't mean a whole lot, but behavior does. Amen. A little child, the behavior, along 2 years old, gets pretty wild, doesn't it, Heaven? You see them in school all the time. It's the behavior. You can't learn without the right behavior. You can't come to the intent of His heart unless you come into the right behavior.
Yes, sir.
And this is the chapter in which He gave us gifts.
Yes, right?
He descended first before He ascended and gave gifts unto men. And that's what has to happen to the heart, is you've got to ascend. Greater is He that is in you. I must decrease, He must increase. Amen. That He gave us this. He gave us the fivefold ministry to teach us how to behave. Amen. And it's not, listen, that's not very inviting. Right? Hebrews 12 says that your natural father, he chastised you for His good. Amen? But this behavior that God wants out of us after His own heart, it's for our good. Amen? But I praise God today that He is expecting, and He has set the goal. He has set the bar. And that's the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
That's the bar He set for us. And I have been under the bar so much. But and every time that I think that I'm behaving in the right behavior, sitting under this gift ministry, when I think I've arrived, He raises the bar on me.
Yeah, that's right.
Doesn't He, Fred? Doesn't He? I mean, my God, we think we have arrived, our hearts, everything. We're waiting for God, the big move of God. And all of a sudden, fellas, I think y'all, this is what I think needs to happen next.
Yeah.
My God.
Amen.
And my heart just sinks again. But it's through all of this right behavior that which is God is after to see where our heart is at. So search your heart. If it's just because of to be in church, that's not good enough. It's not good enough just for the activities. But what it is to stay under the pressure. Stay on until that teleos comes about. Amen. Well, I just love you. The complete pattern. Amen. That's what it is.
Amen.
I praise God. Amen. Amen. I love you today. That's all I can say. Amen. Praise the Lord.